إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Eid Mubarak, kullu am wa antum bi khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this fasting of Ramadan, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sawm and salat and taraweeh and tilawat al-Quran and our sadaqat and khairat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of you and not be displeased, inshallah. I want to therefore mention this Eid reminder or Eid message by the quote of Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayh, who said that it's not Eid for those with new clothes, rather Eid is for those who realize an increment in their devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, it's not Eid for those with fancy clothes and flashy rites, rather Eid is for those whose sins have been forgiven. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and to accept the devotion and the ta'at of Ramadan and increase it and keep it at the same level and increase it throughout our lives, inshallah. Which also today I got another very nice quote from Nisar bhai, which is, Nisar says, he sent me a quote which said, live your life like every day is Ramadan and the Akhirah will be your Eid. Inshallah, we ask Allah for this, inshallah. Now, therefore, what is the message that this Eid brings for us? The first and most obvious and most important message is the message of taqwa. Ramadan didn't come as an event to be enjoyed and celebrated and forgotten. It came as a reminder. It came as a reinforcement. It came as a renewal of our pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be muttaqeen, to obey Him Jalla Jalaluhu in everything that He ordered. And that's why Ramadan took it to a level of an extreme, so to speak, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even forbade that which is normally haram, not normally which is halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that during a certain period of time, from sunrise to sunset, things which are normally halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited that during that time to emphasize the importance of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only and simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. There is no other reason. Why would you not eat something which is halal anyway? Because Allah said so. And the same Allah said, you can eat it now. There's no problem. But in Ramadan, during that period of fasting, you can't eat it. So even though it is something which is to be eaten, you don't eat it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not eat it during this period. So the question of using our so-called intelligence and so on and so forth and saying, this makes sense, that doesn't make sense. What makes sense is that we obey Allah. What does not make sense is that we disobey Allah. I think this is something which is very important for us to keep in mind. If you are really intelligent and if you really want to use your intelligence, by all means, Islam does not prevent you from using intelligence. Islam just tells you to use intelligence properly. And what is the most proper way of using intelligence is to ask the question, who said this? And if Allah said it, then it is intelligence to obey it and to use that intelligence. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Mulk, which we recited in Salah this morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah said, those people who will use their intelligence incorrectly, which is that they will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say how obeying Allah does not make sense. They have sympathy and they have understanding for those who disobey Allah, but they do not have understanding for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they will say on the day of judgment, they will, when they are faced with Jahannam and that is as their destination, they will say, وَنَسْمَ وَنَاقِلُ مَا كُنَّ فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ. If we had any sense, then would we be among the people of Jahannam? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسُخَ لِأَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ. And that is their destination. That is where they will be. We ask Allah to save us from that. So therefore, the first and foremost message of Ramadan al-Kareem is that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we become muttaqeen and we continue with this taqwa, not only for the rest of the year, but for the rest of our lives, that we never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And if there is some disobedience that happens without our conscious thought, it happens because of forgetfulness or something, then immediately we make tawbah and we return to the correct path. We don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately. It's a sad thing to see today. People disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not only do they do that in the name of deen. They do that in the name of celebration. They do that in the name of happiness, in the name of expressing thankfulness, all kinds of things which are by themselves good, but we do that in a way which is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should stop that. So first and foremost message is that of shukr, for what Allah has given us, and for being muttaqeen. And that's why our celebrations, both the Eidain, they start with salah, with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our celebration is salah. Our celebration of Eid is not dancing in the streets, it's not getting drunk, it is not fireworks and color and whatnot. It is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is salah. It starts with our celebration is salah. Our mourning is salah. This is the beauty of Islam. When you are sad also, you make salah. Second message of Eid, and especially of this Eid, and both the Eids obviously, but Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha also, where we distribute the meat, is that of charity. Make sure the Eid is not Eid only for you, but make sure the Eid is also Eid for everyone in your who is in your influence. So all the people, especially the poor people, consciously thinking about them, consciously doing something to help them, giving charity. The Eid al-Fitr, the Salah, the Fitrah must be given before the Salah, even for the Salah to be accepted. And of course, we don't stop with the amount of the Fitrah. So it's not a question of asking. When you ask how much is the Fitrah, it's not for restricting our charity to that amount, which is quite a small amount, but to give as much as we would like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. That's a very good model to use. What must you give Allah? Give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you would like Allah to give you. Right? So if you give trash to Allah, then expect trash to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. If you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the minimum, then expect to get the minimum. But we don't expect that. We expect the maximum, but we want to give the minimum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how whatever we do is for our own benefit. This morning, Saif from America sent me a video of this African-American young man who accepted Islam in the Masjid of Boston. And he said that after that, Saif took him home for dinner, and he asked him, how did you come to Islam? It's a strange thing. He says that boy has no Muslim friends whatsoever. He never met a Muslim in his life. He does not know the Kalima. He has not read the Quran. He has not read any single Islamic book. He said he never even heard the word salam. And if you say salam alaikum, he doesn't know what to say. So as I said, how did you come to Islam? He said, I don't know. There was some desire in my heart that I should worship Allah. So I kept doing that until I came to a masjid and I accepted Islam. Imagine. Yeah, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think all of these things, and I've heard several such stories in my life, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us that He doesn't need us. So if you think you are doing the work of Dawah and you are doing this great sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a load of rubbish. You are doing something for yourself. It's an investment that you are making in your own life. Allah does not need your sacrifice. You don't even own it. How can you sacrifice it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever work we do is for our own good. We don't harm Allah, we don't benefit Allah. So let us be very clear and correct our aqaid and correct our orientation and say that whatever work I do, I am doing it for my benefit, and we ask Allah to give us the reward, inshallah. But don't think you are doing some ihsan on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen to Islam if I don't do the work of Dawah? Islam does very well without your work of Dawah. If that is the reason you are doing it, so that you become famous, we remove all of this stuff from our minds. So Eid comes with these two very important messages: a message of ta'at, of taqwa, of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And please remember that obedience to the sunnah is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I didn't say it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. وَمَنْ يُطِي رَسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, the one who obeys my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has obeyed me. So let us make sure that our obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complete and total, as our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be. And the second message is the message of charity. So let us make sure that there are smiles on the faces of other people, not only our children and family and so on and so forth. Make sure that you spread this goodness all around you, our neighbors, especially the poor people and the neighbors and so on and so forth. All of them must feel the goodness of Eid. The third message of Eid is the message of togetherness, of one ummah, not sects and sections and sectarianism. So in Eid, we all come together to celebrate
being together, to celebrate the sense of being one ummah, to celebrate the being the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be, of being of people who obey and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu alone. And therefore, it is a reminder in Eid that we reject all messages and all invitations towards sectarianism of anyone who says that this sect is superior to that one, or that is superior to this one, and who criticize each other on the basis of differences of opinion and differences of fiqh and differences of understanding of certain masail. We must reject all of these people completely and totally. We are one people, alhamdulillah, and we need to remain one people. One in the brotherhood of faith as Muslims across the world, and one in the brotherhood of humanity as brothers and sisters to every single human being on the face of the earth, whether or not they are Muslim. This is all part of the message of Eid, inshallah.
Once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your ita'at, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this Eid for you and give you many more to come, inshallah, with good health and iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims wherever they are. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all those who are oppressed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the oppressors from the face of the earth, whoever they might be, wherever they might be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.